You know, I was at the. You look great, Scott. I like your look. I was at the KFAX pastor's luncheon. Steve Arterburg, I can't pronounce his last name, Arterburg. He was the guest speaker. He was really funny. And I heard, I watched him on TV just a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about his what a good time he had there. And he said when he got there and he got ready to teach, he was like 400 pastors there. And he said, these pastors needed a laugh. He felt the Lord told him. So he just started telling story after story after story. And his stories were really funny. It was just really, it did a lot of husband and wife stories. And one story I'm going to share, because I think my wife has the same, when she was born, she didn't get it, she had a birth defect. Marcia doesn't have a clock. She doesn't have a clock in her mind. So it's, when we're going to go someplace, she's always running late. She doesn't know what time it is, you know. But at the same time, I have a birth defect, is that as much as I think I know where I'm going, I get lost. You know, I can't find my direction. So Steve tells this story about how his wife has this birth defect that whenever they're going to go someplace, she's always late, and she's not there on time. And one day they were getting ready to go someplace, and they were late, and he finally walked up to her, and he said, honey, we're like 20 minutes late already, and we're going to be late. And she said, that's okay. We'll get lost anyway. Which is sort of where we're going, because as you know, Marcia and I usually team teach. So I sort of prepared something for the beginning, but the Holy Spirit told me how to finish this. So that's where we're going to go on the finish. And I'm going to talk about hunger. And it's from a book. I very seldom take anybody else's stuff. I always feel like I want to get my own stuff. But I read this Preparing for Glory, and it's a book by John and Carol Arnott that they hosted the Toronto Blessing up in Toronto. For everybody went there. Hundreds of thousands of people came from around the world because the Holy Spirit showed up. And it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Psalm 34:8. And as I read that, I was reminded when I was a new Christian, I had this dream, and it was a real dream. And it was like I was in the military. I was in God's army, and we were in basic training, and we were running. It was like early morning, like it is when I was in the army. So it's like early morning. The sun's not up yet, and we were all running and following each other. And as we went around this corner of this barracks, there was a man standing there, and in his hand he had a spoon, and he put it out for me to eat it. And I looked at the spoon, and I was sort of hesitant to just take the spoon. So I put my finger on it, and I touched it, and I put it on my tongue, and it was really sweet. And then I just kept running. So I never forgot that dream. It's like honey. It's like honey. And I keep saying, I should have went back. I wish I could have that dream and go back and take the whole spoonful, because I was fearful, and all I'd have was the taste of it. And then I looked at the scripture, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And the question is, have you ever been hungry? Maybe it's been a while since you last ate, and your stomach is grumbling. Your pizza from last night is long gone, and you forgot to eat breakfast. Rumble, rumble it goes. And all you can think about, you just can't wait for lunch. You just can't wait to taste food again. Maybe you start imagining what you're going to eat, what it will look like, what it will smell like, what it will taste like. You can almost taste it now. In your lunch bag is your favorite sandwich. Or maybe you're going out to lunch at a favorite restaurant for a co-worker's birthday. And just for a moment, you savor the thought of fulfilling that hunger. Your mouth even starts to water just a little bit. My mouth's starting to water just reading about this. And then finally, you get to eat it. You eat your sandwich or your favorite food at your favorite restaurant, and it is delicious. The taste reminds you all over again why it's your favorite. And even after you're done, you know you're going to have to eat it again, and soon. The Lord asks us to taste and see, to see that He is good. He wants us to hunger for Him and His presence more than we would hunger for anything else in the world. And just like your favorite food, when you get a little bit of Him, He knows that you're just going to want more. Unlike the food we eat, there's never too much of God. We can never consume too much of Him, of His presence, of His goodness. We would taste of His love forever and ever, and we would never get enough. And our journey begins with our hunger for God. I have to say that when I was seeking God, that song, Seeking Love and You'll Find It, you know, and if you find love and you see it in people that are ministering, is our call, is that you get to know God through meeting the saints that we have here, who we are, people that have God within them, as they get to meet us. And that's the way it was with me when I first, as Marsh and I've shared a lot of our different events that happened in our life. And I'm going to do it a little bit today because it sort of stays with the hunger that we had. I know that I had met people, and even myself, and since then, especially, I met a lot of people that read the Bible. They studied the Bible, and they read the Bible, but it was never enough. And then after a while, they sort of walked away because they just weren't getting fed just by reading the Bible. There's something else. There's the power of the Holy Spirit that touches you, that gets you, it stimulates that taste. Like in that dream I had, I reached out with my finger, and that the man was offering me a spoon, and I just touched it with my finger and tasted it. I said, oh, that's really good. And then it was gone. And I've been pursuing that ever since. I don't know how many times I've dreamt that. It's when I sought God, and I talked about how I was at that, I had the throat cancer, or possible throat cancer. And I went to that little church it was about as big as this, up in Kernville, and how the Lord spoke to me about the sin of my life. And I told Him that I wanted to get rid of it. And I gave it to Him. And He spoke to me. He says, just throw it away. Give it away. And when He said that, I said, that's a good idea. And I discovered sometime later that whenever the Lord speaks to you and He says to give something up, or He speaks to you and you agree with Him, you're allowing Him to do it. All He wants is us to do is to agree with Him. I know a couple of weeks ago that the Lord put on us when we spoke about the Lord. I was sitting here in the front, and the Lord says, I want you to pray for the people. They would receive the mind of Christ. They would receive the mind of Christ. And I can remember when that the Lord spoke to me. I read it in a Oswald Chambers book about receiving the mind of Christ. I says, wow, that would be really good. How do you do that? Just pray about it and pray about it. And then after a long time goes by and you understand that people don't understand who you are and what you're saying, is because you're thinking like Christ is. You're talking about forgiving yourself. You're talking about forgiving other people. You're talking about the power of grace. And the power of grace gets you to know the Father, the song we sang. Grow in grace and know the Father. Because what you're doing is you're growing in His forgiveness. As He gives you forgiveness and He pours His forgiveness in you, you realize there's nothing that you can do for Him. You can't read enough scriptures. You can't give enough money to make Him satisfied. What he honors is a broken and contrite heart. He wants a heart that's humble. He wants a heart. So when the Holy Spirit comes, many of you are going to feel really uncomfortable. You say, uh-oh. And I've heard some people just get up and leave because they just can't handle the power of the Holy Spirit. Because all of a sudden they say, Satan's talking to me. And what God is trying to do is He's trying to humble you so that you can speak out to Him and you can ask Him a question or He can reach to you. And then then you get the honey. Then the honey comes and the honey comes. John and Carol Arnott talk about what happened at the Toronto Vineyard when they were struggling along. They were struggling along. They were praying and praying to seek God. Even like this class that Pastor's talking about, being what God intended. When we arrived here, people were pretty burnt out. The pastor was burnt out. The congregation was burnt out. In fact, we were going to introduce ourselves, and I know Marcia walked up to one person to introduce herself, and the person said, "I don't want to do anymore." Like, "Hi, I'm Marcia. I don't want to have to do anything else because I'm overwhelmed here. I'm working and I'm working and working." And if you haven't got the Holy Spirit, it becomes a job. It becomes a struggle. But with the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you start enjoying doing what you're doing. In fact, Brother Joshua Athos, he said, "Robert, I don't know too many pastors that lead worship and then preach." Well, my mentor was John Wimber. I used to watch him. He played the piano, and of course, he didn't always lead, but he was always up there. And I remember that I heard a testimony of a man, I can't remember his name, but he was the president of Dallas Seminary, and he went down in Texas. He heard about this Holy Spirit stuff in John Wimber, and he went, Jack Deere, I think it was. He was suspicious of it. And when he got there, he was listening to the worship, and it was really good. And he says, and then the piano player got up, and he started speaking. He was wearing a Hawaiian shirt. And Jack Deere showed up in a suit and a tie, and already, and he got zapped by the Holy Spirit. He ended up leaving Dallas Seminary and going to the Vineyard because it was the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the whole purpose of what we're talking about today. I've had to sort of jump around because Marcia was going to speak in the middle of this, and her clock just kicked in. And lucky I've got her when I'm driving home. She could give me instructions. "Robert, you're missing your passing." I'm talking away. I said, "I can't drive and listen to you at the same time." But my whole goal, when I got touched by the Holy Spirit and I didn't know anything about God, and all I knew was just a little bit, I just felt, all I knew about God was the condemnation that you have to keep all the Ten Commandments. And I knew I couldn't do it. So I left the church when I was like 12 years old. I was about these boys' age, and I started being attracted to girls. And they said, "You can't do that. Be attracted to girls and be a Christian." But see, they didn't tell me about Jesus Christ. It's not, you can be attracted. You can be attracted. But Jesus Christ died so that you become, your thoughts are purified, your intentions are purified. That you can treat each other as with respect. And I did not know that. I thought you had to keep the rules. So I walked in the world for many, many, many years. The only thing I would not do was take the Lord's name in vain. I remembered that. I said all the other curse words, but I never said the G-D. And the rest is history about how I had cancer. And are you about ready, Marcia?
Yes.
Okay. So because I got to finish here, the Lord really gave me a definite instruction for a gift he wants to give today for us. So,
I apologize. There was an accident just past the Carlson exit. I don't know if anybody else got swallowed up in that, but that's where I've been. Anyway, this arm. Thank you. God bless. Yes, absolutely. I just got held back a little. We talked a lot about our histories, and for me, going to Christian school in elementary school ultimately changed my life. And during those years, I was the only person in my family who went to church. My dad would drive me and then come back and pick me up. And my family was Episcopal. So in the Episcopal prayer book, right in the beginning of the morning service, which is actually in Isaiah 57:15, is a quote. I just want to read it to you briefly. It says... For this is what the High and Lofty One says, He who lives forever, He who is eternal, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and humble in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. I read that out loud in my church every Sunday for 5 years, 5 or 6 years, roughly. I memorized it 40 years later. I'm driving down the freeway, just thinking about whatever, and I've become a Christian, but I'm not thinking about that. And all of a sudden, what pops into my mind is the word also. With him also, who has a humble and contrite spirit. I almost stopped the car also. I mean, it was like, you know, the light came on. I realized God has a humble and contrite heart. That was never fit into my image of God. I have this image of God as this all-powerful, all-knowing, you know, sovereign, divine spirit who loves us, you know, all those things. But that God lives with a humble and contrite heart? I couldn't think of any. I mean, why would that be? What mistakes has God made, in other words? I mean, if you look up the word contrite, it means to be convicted of past sins to such an extent that you are crushed by them, that you are crying out for God's forgiveness and deliverance. That's what contrite means. Why would God have a contrite heart? I can't answer that one. Maybe when I get to heaven, but that's what he says. And I believe every word in here. Every word also. 40 years that sat in my soul, ready to speak to me. And then there it was. And ever since then, also we brought a friend who had memorized Psalms. I don't know if you were here when she spoke, but she had MS. And while she couldn't get out of bed, she started memorizing Psalms, memorizing all of the Psalms. And she was healed. So I, knowing her and having that happen to me, I begin to realize that the Lord is going to lead me to certain scriptures that need to be in my bones. Need to be so deep in me that 40 years later, one word pops out and changes me. Those are God's miracles. That's the Holy Spirit at work. So I wanted to share that with you because I believe that's ongoing. That will always, as Christians, that will always be part of us. That will always be teaching us. So there's always one I'm memorizing, and Robert can tell you I don't have a great memory, particularly for words. It's very hard for me to memorize scripture. I'm always misquoting something. So so I ask you to forgive me for that. But I wanted to share that because it comes to what last piece of what I wanted to share with you about judgment, and that is outcome. If you become judgmental, it naturally pulls you into believing that you should decide the outcome. We don't have any control over the outcome. The outcome does not belong to us. It doesn't belong to anybody, really. But especially as Christians, we give that up to God, saying, God, you know best. Your wisdom knows best. And we've talked about in history situations that people have been in, like people in a concentration camp. That would be a hard one for me. Or people in a plague watching their family die around them. That would be a hard one for me, not to say, I don't know what you're doing here. You know, I'm having a hard time with this one. But understanding that outcome is up to God. God, only God can decide the correct, the right, the outcome that is best for us and best for everyone else. We have to leave that to God. We have to surrender that and let God work with it. Sometimes it takes 40 years. Sometimes it takes centuries or longer for God to do whatever, you know, whatever is coming from a certain outcome. But I know that I look back on the days in Christian school as the outcome is still bearing fruit in my life. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm grateful to know that whatever the outcome, whether it's something I want or something I'm afraid of or something that is difficult, doesn't matter. Because God's outcome will always be the best, the most perfect for me and everything around me. And that, a lot of times, requires waiting. So here we are speaking to you at this moment. The outcome of this, I have no idea what it's going to be. I ask for your prayers. Stay posted with us. We have grown to really appreciate and love you all. And you are in our prayers.
And that's sort of like the hunger we had. It was a hunger for relationship, because when I first became a Christian, all of my buddies in the bar, all those people that hang around me, always inviting me some places, taking me to games and stuff, they thought I went crazy. All I wanted to talk about was Jesus. So they sort of stayed away from me. I thought about it. I got to this church where everybody was just tasting the Holy Spirit, but they'd been in church for a long time. And it was difficult for them to be comfortable around people that were showing weakness. And I remember I sat down next to this woman on a Friday night thing. She says, "Why are you sitting next to me?" Like a demon was going to jump out of me and get on her, you know. Because I would start crying, and then the BC started, I would just start crying. Every time it just kept going to worship, I just cried and cried and cried. I just felt this tremendous love of God on me that I didn't. I felt this tremendous love of God on me, and I didn't feel worthy of it. I did not feel worthy of the love of God. I thought that I had sinned too much. And it's when God started teaching me about grace, and he gave me all these songs about grace, until one day I had the mind of Christ, and I stopped judging myself. I stopped judging other people. And I just let it go. And then Marcia brought us here. I mean, I think about the trail we went and some of the poor things that happened to us and some of the losing jobs and stuff like that. And it was always worked out well. It always came out better. I mean, we look at it now, we look back and said, you know, all the things that have happened to us, and we're really in a good place. We have friends. We have friends with the Lord. We have a relationship with God the Father. I'm certain that he loves me and I love him. And I know it's not because of what I can do for him. It's because I need him. Because he's my perfection. Jesus Christ is my perfection. So there I walk easy. I live well. People said, how come you look so good at 80? I said, because I got a good relationship with the Heavenly Father. I don't judge myself. I don't judge other people. And that was not easy for me, because I was always the oldest, and I was responsible for everybody. Some of you older brothers or something, you know, you have responsible for your younger siblings and cousins. And until I became a Christian, I was always like a leader. Always a leader, leader. After I became a Christian, I became a servant, and I enjoyed it. I didn't want to lead anymore. I was burnt out as a leader. And that's what happened when we came here. Came out here. Pastor was burnt out. Everybody was burnt out. I had to say it. You guys were all burnt out. Everybody was just tired. They didn't want to do anymore. We'd done this and done that and done this and done that. And I found out it myself. It's the Holy Spirit that leads you into maturing as a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you can read every book there is, and you can do this and that, and you can play the Christian game, but you don't have the relationship. You don't have it. And that's what the Lord wants to do today. That's what he told me. So I'm going to read the scripture, what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit here. In John 16, and Jesus is talking. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. They do not believe that I died for their sins. They don't believe in me and what I've done for them. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. So we talk about Jesus and we don't see him. We don't see him. That's going to happen. Of judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. And he says, I still have many things to say to you, but I can't. You're not going to bear that now. And he said that to me over and over and over. I said, Lord, how about this? How about that? And he says, you can't handle it. I started saying, this must be from Satan. And I realized it was God saying, you can't handle it. You can't handle it. And then I would grow into it. So we're going to do an exercise here. I know if people are ready to fall asleep because it's getting ready to happen. That sleeping spirit doesn't want you to be activated. So the question is, are you hungry for God or more of God? So we're going to take a few minutes now and focus on him. So close your eyes. We're going to invite him to come. Holy Spirit, come now. I want you to say now, God, would you stir up a hunger in me? A hunger to see you. To see you move mightily. In me and through me. Lord, I don't want anyone or anything else but you. I just receive. Just wait. Francis, stand up. The Lord has called you to be an intercessor. He's given you an intercessor's heart. You know what people need. You know what the church needs. And so many times you personalize it yourself of what I need, and that's what he wants you to do is personalize it. But he's going to raise you up to pray for this body and this church. He's going to gather other women that have the same heart. They're going to gather with you, and you're going to pray for this church. The Lord has blessed you with that gift of intercessor. Albert, stand up. The Lord has blessed you with the gift to make things happen. Even as your wife intercedes and talks about what's on her heart, you're going to give her direction, and you will know the direction to how to make things work. You have a prophetic gift, and that's what a prophet does. He doesn't predict the future. He just speaks in a way that makes the future happen because he sees how it happens. So the Lord has blessed you with that gift. So just receive that gift. He's going to use that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Scott, stand up. The Lord's given you a pastor's heart. He's given you a heart for others to minister to them, to hear them, and give them direction. But what he's doing in you at the same time is that he's changing your mind and your emotions. He's taking that away and he's put it in your heart. You're struggling right now with knowing what to do. I know this is the right thing to do in my mind, but this is not what should be done. And the Lord is transforming your heart. And he's going to speak greater in you. He's given you an arm of might. He's given you the power of the Holy Spirit to speak out his word, to love others as he has loved you. Ryan and Elliot, come forward. Open your eyes and watch this. I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said, I said, did we really do anything here in these 3 years? I mean, I could have prayed more. I could have gone to more meetings. I could have been to more people's houses. But I felt like, please, we don't need any more. I just want to rest. And we felt that everybody needed to rest. All we could do was encourage. And I said, did we plant any seeds here? And the Lord said, told me to do this. So, Ryan, how are you doing? Good, good. Elliot? Good. You see what they're doing? Turn sideways. Okay, same thing. How you doing, son? Good, good, good. Elliot? Good handshakes, good eye contact. Men need that. Women need that. And these men will walk in. These handshakes and this eye contact is going to carry these young men into adulthood. And they're going to find favor with others. So I'm going to bless you right now. Father, we just praise your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you for these young men of God, that they will go forth in confidence, knowing who you are in them. That even as they're able to greet their elders and others in an acceptable form, the Lord says, I have greeted you. When you go forward, you're going to go forward in my strength and in the power of my spirit. Through the high places and through the low places, know that I will always be with you and I will not forsake you, for you have found favor in my eyes. So go as a servant, go as a lamb, and go in the power of the great I am. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Cindy? The Lord has given you favor as a worshiper, and he's given you favor in leadership. He's called you to be a woman who can lead other women because of your speak out and wanting to be known and wanting to speak out wisdom. But like a young girl being a woman, but you are a woman. And the Lord has blessed you. He's blessed you with leadership. He's blessed you with an author. I see you as a person who can write. I don't know how this works. I don't know if you write or journal or whatever, but he's given you words to speak, words of encouragement to others. It's a prophetic gift as a woman to be able to speak into other people's lives and encourage them. But the Lord wants to know that he wants to encourage you, never be timid about who you are. Love others and have a humble heart, but know who He is in you and who you are in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, just bless this couple. You can stay down. Lord, just bless this couple. I thank You for them coming to our church, Lord. I thank You for the healing that You've given here. I thank You for the heart of this woman and her husband. I just bless You, man of God. As your eyes are being opened to who Jesus Christ truly is, He's giving you the mind of Christ, that you're going to see men and yourself who you truly are, and not in a religious form, but in a natural way. You'll be able to move as a natural man. Just bless that. Bless the healing in both of you. Thank You, Lord.
The Lord has given across you in honor, and as you walk it out, you will see the ways and things grow around you. The Lord be with you.
Will you stand up? The Lord has called you. You're His faithful farmer. You're a farmer in the kingdom of God. He's giving you seeds to plant, and He water them. He's giving you ground to toil, a hard ground, but you're faithful. You're a faithful farmer. You're a farmer for the Lord. You're going to plant seeds, and those seeds are going to mature and grow because He's given you that authority, that you're a man of authority. You will speak in authority, His authority, and people will respond to that. You're going to speak the words of life into your children, to those others around you, and they're going to hear your words, and you're planting seeds in your life. So just continue to go in His authority, man of God. Pastor Joseph. Receive. He showed me before that arrived here earlier. I saw you as a man like in an overloaded dryer. It was overloaded and things were happening. He's given you the gift of relationship, that you reach out to men and you cause relationship and you grow in relationship with them and you grow in a bond with them. The Lord says, I have this bond with you. Seek my relationship. Seek a relationship with me in a greater way. As you seek the relationship in the world, seek a relationship with me, because I'm taking you to different places and new places. I'm going to take you places that it's not going to be one-on-one. I'm taking you places where it's going to be 1,000-on-1. And what's going to connect you to each person is the fact that the Holy Spirit's going to connect you in the heart to them. He's going to give you the words of life. He's given that. But He wants you to walk in the peace of that. And walk in the peace of the relationship. The old things are gone. The old ways are gone. He's going to show you new ways. He's going to give you dreams. And you're going to have dreams and thoughts. People are going to speak to you and ideas are going to come. Love your enemies. Amen. Stand up. Father, we just thank You for Marlene, Lord. We thank You for this pharmacist who for years spent her life in helping others by giving them the right things for their bodies to heal. And the Lord wants to give you He's giving you the words of life. He's giving you the knowledge of the Bible and how to speak it. You know you want to be a counselor. And the Lord says, I'm going to be your counselor. I'm going to be your counselor. And He's going to ask you to relax and give you a spirit of peace that you don't have to worry about your future. He's given you wisdom. Don't worry about your future. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Just take one day at a time and bless on that.
The Lord is changing your heart. You have a good heart now, but just moving it to a different place. You're growing. Growing pains are a struggle, but the Lord is saying, you're faithful, you have the faith to walk this out with me, and I'm changing your heart. And as your heart changes, you will have a greater capacity to speak into the lives of others.
Amen. Luke and Christine. Wake up, sleepyheads. Stick your hands out. Hold this, honey. I look at your hair and I see you with all white hair. And white hair means wisdom. The Lord has blessed you with that wisdom. That wisdom has been hidden. And the Lord's going to open it up. He's going to give you opportunities to share your wisdom. Not in judgment, not in condemnation. But it's going to be in love. And the Lord says, you're not responsible for what other people think. You're not responsible for what they do. Just speak what I've given you and live what I've given you. He wants you to live in what you're going to speak. Live it and regurgitate it in others' lives. I just bless you as a man and a woman at the hip to minister for him. In his name, amen. Girls, stand. I'm glad, so glad you showed up because the Lord showed up to pray for you. Father, I just bless you. I can't remember your name. Jennifer. But that's good because it humbles me. Because I'm a man who always knew everybody's names. And whenever I'm humbled, look out, here comes the Lord. Lord, I just thank you for Jennifer, Father. Heart that you give. And the mind is changing your find yourself things that you didn't do before. Rebellion is broken over. In Jesus' name, we just break that. And the Lord is the gifts that he's given you. And you're going to find grow. Graduation of who you are in Jesus Christ. Natalie, woman of God, you are a woman of God. The Lord is about to unfold within you your new character. It's like a character you keep hidden. That's why I said, God, she's got to be. I said, she's got to learn to smile more. So the Lord is going to just... But it's not going to be an artificial joy. He's going to give you a spirit of joy that who you truly are. Joy in the relationship you have, in your family, with others. The joy in the relationship you're going to have with Jesus Christ is in you. Marcia, you got a word?
The Lord says, look for me. Wherever you are, look for me. I'll be there. You'll see me. And it will lead you forward.
And the Lord has given you the eye to that. You can keep your eyes closed. You can... the yoke, this Devon's in you. Lord, time, Pastor.
Amen. Bless. Pray. Would you please lift by your hands? We bless Pastor Robert and Marsha. I went to a conference today. It's a worship before the throne. You know, so actually, the conference was very interesting. Not much teaching. It's just actually led us through to worship the Lord. How to deal with our heart. So like with kind of anointing, I'd like to bless both of them. I really admire Robert and Marsha for their faithfulness, their love for the Lord. You know, they try to worship the Lord all these years. I just bless you that you will go to another level of worshiping God in this golden age with a new anointing and revelation before God. God will provide all your needs and take care of all your needs. All your jobs, worship Him and lead younger generation, next generation to worship Him. In Jesus' name we bless you. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.